I declare the meeting open at 5:30 PM. I welcome councillors, management and members of the public in attendance to the City of Melbourne. Could I ask that any phones be switched off for the duration of the meeting? We respectfully acknowledge that we are meeting on the traditional land of the Kulin Nation. This place is now known by the name of Melbourne. Melbourne is one of the great multicultural cities of the world and a significant meeting place. For the Kulin Nation, Melbourne has always been an important meeting place and location for events of social, educational, sporting and cultural significance. The agenda comprises 18 reports from management, 10 of which are confidential, and one item of general business. We've received an apology from Councillor Wood. Though it is not our normal practice to acknowledge people in the gallery, I do wish tonight to acknowledge the attendance of the Dean of Grassroots Sport and Management Department, Tianjin University of Sport, Mr. Xiao Li Peng, the Deputy Chief of Executive Department, Tianjin Port Group, Mr. Chu Chongguang, and the Chairman of the Youth Federation of the Hexi District, Tianjin, Mr. Li Long. Gentlemen, you are very welcome. Come on, stand and give us a wave, gentlemen. You're from our sister city. You're from our sister city. You are very welcome. Very welcome. Please pass my regards to Mayor Huang, a good friend and an iron buddy. Whoever can translate that gets the lolly for tonight. If any councillor has either a direct or indirect interest as defined in the Local Government Act 1989 in relation to a matter to be considered by council, please disclose the type and the nature of the interest prior to consideration of the item. Could I call on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the open minutes of council meeting number 12 held on Tuesday the 24th of September 2013. Councillor Oak, thank you. Seconded Councillor Foster. Is there any speaker to the motion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Any matters arising from the minutes of the previous open meeting? As at 3 PM today, the following submission was received in accordance with the Council's Conduct of Meetings Local Law 2010. In relation to Agenda Item 7.1, Notice of Motion, Councillor Foster, Public Transport, Extended Hours, an item of correspondence from Don Parsons, Chairman of the CBD Police Community Consultative Committee. Does any councillor wish to discuss the confidential status of confidential agenda items 6.9, 6.10 or 6.11? In that case, there are no reports from committee for consideration in the open session. There are 8 reports from management for consideration. The first is the record of assembly of councillors. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, I call on a councillor to move the motion. Moved, Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Oak. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. The second is the schedule of council and committee meetings 2014. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Ong. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? All those against? Carried. Thank you. Third agenda item is the annual report. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Mayne, is that seconded? Councillor Leppert, thank you. Councillor Mayne, do you wish to speak to this?
Just briefly, Lord Mayor. I know we've already formally approved the annual report. I think it was the last council meeting, so we can't make any late amendments tonight, councillors. I'm just pretty happy with page 115, where we've made that first ever disclosure of our 20 most valuable land and buildings. It's a very comprehensive document. It's not heavily populated with photographs. I think I've got the only print version here. So it's certainly responding to our requirements to detail all our goals and all the regulatory reporting. So it's a fairly heavy 180 pages, I think. But overall, it's very comprehensive, and we should take our annual report seriously, and it's good to see we've got that little extra bit of disclosure in this year. So thanks to the officers for producing a good document.
Councillor Leppert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The disclosure is good, but I just want to make sure that we're thanking all those involved in putting together what is a remarkable document. The various components of this report have been approved and audited already, but the sheer amount of work that's gone into it, I think, needs to be recognised and applauded. I think the quality of the report, even compared to previous years, is just improving. So thank you very much to everyone who has put it together.
Is there a speaker against the motion? Is there a further speaker for the motion? Councillor Mayne, do you wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. 6.4 is the contribution to Footscray State Emergency Service relocation costs. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item?
Lord Mayor, can I just ask a question to officers?
Of course.
In the letter that we received from...
I'm sorry? Yeah, I think that would be fine.
Fine.
Could we have a brief presentation?
And a laugh.
And then we'll take some questions. Sorry, I thought that was of one mind and I was wrong. Jeff.
Lord Mayor, the City of Melbourne has for a very long time benefited from the service provided by the SES based in Footscray, and as a consequence of that, because there isn't a facility based in the City of Melbourne, the Council has been making a grant each year to the costs of running that. During the reason this report has come forward is that unbeknownst to us, the SES relocated itself within the Maribyrnong municipality, and the City of Maribyrnong contributed towards the cost of that relocation. Now, whilst it was communicated to some officers within the organisation, it wasn't communicated at a senior enough level for this to be brought to Council and for you to make provision within your budget should you wish to do so. So, in a sense, a certain amount of humble pie bringing to council that this is an important service. We think we should make this contribution in partnership with the City of Maribyrnong. It should have been budgeted if it had been raised early enough. It wasn't. So we're seeking to correct an error of the past.
Thank you. You'll understand there may be some questions given that this somewhat takes us by surprise. Councillor Wong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I think Jeff's explanation sort of covers the question because the letter indicated it was discussed since 2011. But I think the explanation that it just didn't get propagated up to the management, which meant that it didn't get into the budget process. I'm happy with that explanation.
Any further questions? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move this resolution? Councillor Ong, is this seconded? Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Ong, do you wish to speak to it?
Just briefly, I think besides the part about the budget issues, I think it's great that we have the SES located very close to the City of Melbourne within the IMAP region, because I know that the SES, in my dealings through community organisations, have been involved in a lot of activities that are happening in the City of Melbourne all the time, and from the reports that the number of service call-ups they've done for the City of Melbourne is highly appreciated, because we don't have that within ourselves.
Thank you. Deputy Lord Mayor.
No, Lord Mayor.
Is there further contributor to debate? The only contribution I would make is to suggest, and Jeff, I know that you will take this under consideration, if there should have been a budget item, then the relevant officers, no matter how junior, should have known to elevate this for our consideration. The thing that sticks for me a little bit, I must say, despite the worthiness, and this always catches us, when worthiness is in conflict with process, and the worthiness of this cause is undoubted. You know, there were about 229, I think, from recollection, call-outs. Therefore, at the rental contribution we make, it's about $100 per call-out for usually a number of appliances and quite a number of volunteers. It's a remarkably cheap service for our constituents and very worthy. Nevertheless, retrospective approval of a budget item for a relocation which has already occurred is not exactly a great precedent. And I know you understand that, and I don't wish to apportion blame or anything like that, but just maybe a suggestion: when something should be a budget item, then even quite junior officers should know, elevate that within one breath. And you know, we don't have any objection to it, I don't think, but nevertheless, the process hasn't been ideal. Is there a further speaker to it, Councillor Rong? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.5 is the Sustainable Melbourne Fund full year performance results to the 30th of June 2013. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move the motion? Councillor Oak, is that seconded? If it doesn't get a seconder, councillors, it lapses. Councillor Main, thank you. Councillor Oak, do you wish to speak to it?
Not in great depth. It did come to us prior and we asked for further information and it's come back to us. I think the information is all contained in the report. Whilst it may not be returning the revenue that we might look to in a subsidiary company or a company with the City of Melbourne, the opportunities and the business coming online and the uniqueness of this model are definitely represented well in the annual, in the report. And I don't think we should underestimate the opportunity that this Sustainable Melbourne Fund has, not only for the City of Melbourne but across Australia and the world. And we are leading the world in this unique environmental upgrade agreement finance. And as the report says, we're the only organisation in Australia that has the capacity to deliver and understand. So there are opportunities there, but it also details how there are a lot more applications than last time. There are a lot more coming through the pipeline, as they say, and we will start to see it move ahead much faster than we have in the past. And it's exciting and something we need to continue to support accordingly.
Councillor Mann.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, I mean, there is a nominal loss of a couple of hundred thousand, but look, the bottom line is we seed-funded this in 2002 with $5 million. The net assets are now at 6.21. I think this is a slightly dated document now, if you think that we're almost into November and this is for the year end 30 June. We know we've had a briefing where they've landed their biggest financing deal in the first quarter of the 13-14 year, so that obviously will come through in the next annual report, but I'm certainly very confident that the growth is there. As Councillor Oak mentioned, the model is good, the risk is not large, the scale is not huge, so we can afford to do this. It's important demonstration financing project, if you like. We like to lead on climate change issues and sustainability issues, and this is an example of how we lead, and the finances are in perfectly fine shape.
The further contribution to debate? Councillor.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd like to echo the words of Councillor Oak and Councillor Main too, because the SMF, we look at when it was first started, it was a leading edge. Some might call it bleeding edge, but in terms of where we are heading, we're also setting the lead for other councils and other cities around the world to consider some of these benefits of what the SMF is trying to do. And speaking to the CEO not so long ago and looking at the plans that they have, I think while the financial returns is one of the KPIs, the other four KPIs are also very important to ensure that the objectives and the strategies that we wanted to apply with the SMF will start to deliver the outcomes in the pipeline that I think they're working on. So I look forward to a much positive financial return, but also in terms of the other KPIs that we bring in more EUAs.
Is there a further contribution to debate? In that case, could I just also make a brief contribution? This is what we should have expected from the SMF. We were the ones who in 2013 changed the hurdle rate because we thought that was a better mechanism than just, you know, putting more cash into the SMF. And they promised that they would track, as indeed as Councillor Mann has said, they're tracking above where they said they would be to return to a surplus. So in that sense, it's a very good result, given what we did in 2013. The other point I would make is, and that's something, it's a story that we've said before in here that we need to get out about sustainability. This is money that's now been entirely, if I may borrow a mafia term, been reused. You know, it's as if we have got nearly $10 million worth of benefit from $5 million of initial investment. And that's what these revolving funds do. So it's been actually a very successful fund. It has taken on larger and larger projects, and I think we can head towards a very confident and optimistic future with it. I was one of the most trenchant of critics, perhaps, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, but the demonstration projects, the track record, the hurdle rate change, the tracking to date, the pipeline of projects, the reuse of money, all shows me that the SMF, although quite a small subsidiary company, may well be having quite a disproportionate effect on one of our major goals around sustainability, as Councillor Orong said. Councillor Oak, do you wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.6 is the Regent Management Company Proprietary Limited trading results till the 30th of June. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Could I have a councillor move this? Councillor Main, is that seconded? Deputy Lord Mayor, Councillor Main, do you wish to speak to it?
Yes, Lord Mayor. The financial results for June 30 show that there's been an operating loss, if you like, of $394,000, but that largely reflects the fact that there's depreciation on the building and the equipment of close to $600,000. But then the bottom line result is actually a profit of $2.6 million because we've had the revaluation of the assets. If you look in the detail of the accounts, we have revalued the land from $8 million to $8.8 million, and we've revalued the buildings from $3.93 million to $5.54 million. I think it's fair to say that that may be a valuation that is certainly not a replacement cost for the Regent Theatre of $5.54 million. But just as the SMF has $6.2 million of our cash on its balance sheet, the Regent Theatre Company, which we own 50% of in a 50-50 joint venture with the state, actually also has $2.3 million of cash at year end. So it's in a strong financial position. There will be a step up in the rental that we receive from the Mariner Group in the coming years. So the receivables this year were $243,000. That will rise in accordance with what is a very long-term lease. And all the detail of that will be explained in a report that will be coming back to Council before the end of the year, responding to an earlier notice of motion calling for some more information on the Regent Theatre. So the financials for the 12-13 year are fine. I think the valuations, it's good to see the valuations are going up. It's obviously in a strong cash position, arguably too strong. Does it need $2.3 million of cash sitting on that balance sheet? Might be we can take a dividend out next year, you never know. But we're in pretty good shape in the Regent Theatre.
Deputy Lord Mayor.
Lord Mayor, I think Councillor said it all.
A further contribution to debate? In that case, I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Item 6.7 is the felicitously named agenda item, the updated protocol supporting decision-making structures and city representative roles. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move it, please? Councillor Leppert, seconded Councillor Main. Councillor Leppert, do you wish to speak to it?
Mindful of the media in the gallery, let me emphasise that the changes aren't significant and that if anyone has a look at the current protocols and compares them to the protocols that are proposed here, we're not talking about many changes. The tweaks that are there update the document. The document was a few years old now. I think the changes are good. And I endorse the proposal as a whole. Thank you to officers and Keith and Jack in particular and to Councillor Main for leading the redraft. As I say, it is not a major redraft and I think it should be supported.
Councillor Main.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. If you believe the Herald Sun, this is the item of business in which we decapitate the Lord Mayor and send him off to the island of Elba, never to be heard from again. Truth be known, this is obviously a very minor update of the roles and representations. There isn't anything particularly substantial change. But with all these documents, and we've gone through a few of them now, there is quite a bit of detail. You need to look at them. You do need to have policies on these sorts of issues. So there has been a little bit of tinkering, which is appropriate for our structure. No meaningful change. Memo Herald Sun. And I think, as Councillor Leppert said, it should be supported as a non-controversial item.
Thank you. Is there a further contribution? Councillor Orong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I congratulate my fellow councillors for bringing this and updating the old protocols. Bearing in mind, under this new council, we've had extra portfolios, and as a result, there needs a bit of time to clarify all the different roles and any crossovers, and I think this will just make it clearer. Hopefully, you know, it will make it smooth for the councillors when we're dealing with the media and also representing the city in public forums.
Is there a further contribution? Could I just add one small thing, and it arises out of Councillor Main's contribution. His reference to Napoleon's initial banishment on the Isle of Elba can't help but give rise in me to my fondness for the palindrome, "Able was I ere I saw Elba." And I don't know why I wanted to drop that in, but I just did want to put that on the public record. And I can assure you, Councillor Mann and I did not rehearse that. I would just reiterate that I am very happy with these protocols. Is there a further speaker to debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. There is one. This concludes the reports from management to be considered in open session. There is one item of general business for consideration in the open session, and that is a notice of motion from Councillor Foster on public transport extended hours. Hang on, where am I? Have I got? Hang on. Oh no, no. I beg your pardon. I just was passing. I just did a little junket passover. I beg your pardon. Could I refer you to item 6.8, the post-travel report by, in fact, me to London in July of 2013? Would my fellow councillors like a presentation?
No, but I have a question.
Please ask a question. Yes.
Oh, no, just a minor question about the actual presentation. Is that, it's very echoey, is that now online?
I don't know.
Because I know there was an issue about the but that's the technical.
I don't know whether it was a technical issue. Our intention is to put the full presentation, including the visual presentation which we used, online. My recollection is that we have to have Rod Wilson's contribution to that, because in fact we did a mutual and joint contribution. So if Victoria Police give their permission for Rod's to be included, then it will be online in its entirety. But it doesn't make much sense as a single contribution, because we did it as a double act. So my only, unless someone can tell me that it is online already, I will presume we're waiting for Victoria Police. We are waiting for Victoria Police to just allow us to put his part online. But the whole lot will certainly go online, including the visual presentations.
I'm happy to move the recommendation online, but removing 11.4 at the end.
Yeah, that's fine.
I'll move that. I can speak to it, but that's not the process.
No, that's fine. I'm happy with that. Yep. Is there a seconder for the motion?
I actually want to ask a question.
Please go ahead.
No, it's just I'd be very interested to know about these. Mayor Johnson arranged a series of high-level meetings, and I'm just curious about what they might be, or what they might have been, I should say.
And I'm afraid, because it was a closed conference, the media were not allowed in, the public were not allowed in, and that is because there was something like 14 police chiefs from around the world. They were discussing issues of natural disaster response, terrorism response, criminal response. I'm very happy to do so, but an open council meeting is not the place for that, and I have to respect Mayor Johnson's confidentiality in calling that conference not to be open to media or public.
Well, I'm partly satisfied by what you've said, so thank you. It's a little clearer in my mind what these high-level meetings might have been. Thank you.
Could I make the point, Councillor, perhaps if you have a look at, and the attendees are certainly public, and, you know, I would suggest you, in a first instance, look at those attendees, the mayors from around the world and the police chiefs from around the world, and that will give you some indication, at least at the level of discussion that was held, including with Sir Bernard Hogan Howe, the chief of the Metropolitan Police in London. In that case, it's been moved by Councillor Oak. Is it seconded? Councillor Main.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. The reason why I obviously support this, and thank you for your report, and I believe that there are some outcomes that are, that will only support our city safety strategy, which is excellent, and it is one of the reasons why I ask for the presentation to go online, as the issues in the document, the issues that you presented on in the document highlight we've got some great programs to promote, and I just figured that anything that we can get online to showcase what we're doing, the better. The reason why I removed 11.4 is not that I don't support the full spectrum of all of the things within our city safety strategy. I just understand that we're in the middle of reviewing it at the moment, and that we'll have the opportunity to continue our support or otherwise at a later date, and I didn't think it was necessarily relevant or post-travel report to do so, but not because I don't necessarily support what's written in there. So otherwise I move the recommendation to support the report, and thank you for representing the city.
Thank you. Councillor Mayne? Any other councillor wish to speak? Could I just make one point about 11.3, which is about Martin Innes. This was one of the most interesting things I found, and it's one thing that we will need to follow up, although we can't guarantee we'll get a result. Martin Innes, who's a professor at the Police Science Institute, was doing work around the effectiveness of social media, and it was completely opposite to what I thought one would do. And he's used incidents like the London bombings, a number of natural disasters, where the natural inclination for a government agency is to get out as quickly as possible on social media and explain your point of view. His research, and it's not published yet, which is why we have to follow it, is that that is the worst thing you can do, that social media works completely differently from mainstream media, and in fact to get out too early only confuses the issue, that there is a first stage, as I recall his research, which is just about a range of information and comments that are out there. Then there is a stage of questions and misinformation, and it is only at the third stage that government agencies should come out and correct the record and put on the record what the answers are. In other words, don't give the answers on social media until all the questions have been asked, is what Martin Innes's research seems to be showing. And probably the best example of that being well used in Australia most recently is Lieutenant General David Morrison's response as Chief of Army to some of the sex scandals at ADFA, and how effective that was, not early in that particular debate, but in fact at a quite late stage. And I'm quite interested from our perspective with our social media channels about how we can use them in case of, it might be a natural disaster, it might be an emergency evolving in the city, but how we use social media in a way which is effective to communicate to our constituency. And Martin Innes was generally regarded by all the police chiefs around the world as the person who was most adept in social media research. So I'm very keen to follow that. I take Councillor Oakes' point about 11.4 and us being in the middle of it, but I would just say again that that continues to be my point of view about full-spectrum policing, and what we got most kudos about was the fact that we were doing more than the other police forces on all elements, and that was reinforced to me recently in a report you'll see a bit later, when I had a discussion with Ray Kelly, the police commissioner in New York, about what they are doing in New York to reduce crime with actually fewer police. And their view of the world is very much that this full-spectrum policing is the way to go. But I'm very happy to continue that discussion in the process where we look at our safety plan for the next 3 years, which will commence soon. Councillor Oak, do you wish to conclude debate? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. That concludes the report from management to be considered in open session. There is one item of general business, and that is a notice of motion from Councillor Foster on public transport extended hours. Could I call on Councillor Foster to move the motion in his name?
So moved.
Moved. Is that seconded? Councillor Oak, thank you. Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Our councillors will already be aware that this motion arises from the Alcohol and Other Drugs Roundtable held recently here at the Town Hall, which I chaired. One of the very strong messages to come from that roundtable was that city safety is an issue, as we all know, but of particular issue is that people wanted to prevent visitors and residents from becoming victims of crime in the city, especially late at night, and especially the victims of violent crime brought about by antisocial behaviour. antisocial behaviour, as we know, on weekends in the city often arises from drug and alcohol abuse, and measures to prevent the incidences of those crimes were something that that the roundtable certainly wanted us to pursue. One of those measures, or rather one of the ancillary causes associated with that, was the movement of people around the city on weekends and what difficulties arise from a lack of movement around the city on weekends. People trying to get out of the city at the in the early hours of the morning is often giving rise to this type of crime and to people becoming victims of it. One of the potential solutions to this is to extend the hours, the operating hours of public transport, especially over weekends. And that's something that obviously rests fairly and squarely within the purview of the state government. So this motion goes to the City of Melbourne, advocating very strongly on the basis of what came up at the Alcohol and Other Drugs Roundtable, with a view to public transport hours being extended to try to curtail some of these problems. So on that basis, I commend the motion to councillors.
Thank you, Councillor Oak.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Foster. I think that it's quite fitting that it follows on from the previous resolution or recommendation accepting your travel report around city safety, but also that you were presenting in a city like London and talking to other big cities where they actually have the remit over transport and other areas that the City of Melbourne doesn't have control over, where we, as Councillor Foster says, we need to advocate for rather than necessarily extend the hours ourselves. And so we do need to write letters to the very relevant ministers or ask for further dialogue on areas that are of importance to us, not only in city safety but in our transport strategy as well. And extending the hours of public transport is something that comes up time and time again. And we have ideas on how it would help us, and I know that others would as well, and others do, and I think that it's quite right that we get on and advocate further, and this resolution is part of that. And hopefully this meeting is fruitful, and it may not be an instant positive response about extending public transport hours, but I think it's a conversation we need to continue to have, because these issues are going to continue to be there if we don't, around safety, especially at night time in the city, for many vulnerable users, but also for the many visitors that use the city and want to get home with a cheaper method than taxis or otherwise. So, I commend the recommendation. I look forward to hopefully a positive outcome of our meeting.
Thank you. Is there a further speaker on the motion? Councillor Rong.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I actually like to congratulate Councillor Foster for bringing this back to council. Back in 2009, when the last council was elected, one of the first things we did under the Lord Mayor was the City Safety Summit. And back then, with the Lord Mayor and Councillor Kenneth, there was a lot of discussions relating to city safety and debates around CCTV and a whole lot of things. And a motion was put in back in 2009 to the then state government about the similar issues, without success, I might add. But one of the things that's important in the discussions there, we all know that on Fridays and Saturday nights, where we have nearly 300,000 people coming into the city to enjoy the city's offerings of entertainment, of food, and of course late night venues as well. What was interesting too is the policy that we had, and the state government had, and the police had, was to come into the city, enjoy it, but take public transport. Don't drive if you're going to drink. The problem was, most of the night venues close after one, and the public transport stopped before then. So we do have a problem when the night rider buses and the taxis just couldn't cope with the number of people trying to get home, and the result is thousands of people are left in the city wandering around, and some of them are in better state than the others, and the conflict arises. And I hope that this time, and with Councillor Foster pushing it, that we get this thing, at least the government comes on board and to start investigation how to implement, how we can implement this. Because I can assure you, the council, the residents, the businesses and the police in the city totally support this.
Is there a further contributor debate? In that case, I'll just... Sorry, Councillor Lippert.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Foster, for moving this, and to those who have contributed to the debate so far. I just briefly add my words of support to this motion. When the transport strategy was adopted in 2012, there were no actions included in it, which goes to the crux of the motion that we have before us today. Obviously, it's one of the biggest strategies that we've got in the City of Melbourne, and it's a largely excellent strategy, but I think that this motion is, in that sense, a good addendum to that strategy. The strategy talks about the difficulties with cost associated with extending the rail network through the night. I think that it's unfortunate that the Premier and Minister Mulder's instant reaction to this hitting the press about a month ago was that they assumed that that would be the starting point, and so the debate seemed to be over before it began. But obviously there's a lot of scope for reasonably low-cost extension of tram and bus services, starting perhaps on Friday and Saturday night, as Councillor Rong has said, and these are things that the City of Melbourne has advocated for actively for many years. And hopefully we can put aside the unfortunate initial reaction that we saw a month ago, and Minister Mulder and ourselves, we can talk about what other options there are. Rail, yes, is expensive, but I think that the benefits and the reductions, in fact, in unsafe practices late at night is so important, and so we need to find ways of working around the cost issues. So thank you again for the excellent addition to addendum, if you like, to the transport strategy, and good luck.
Thank you. Is there a further contributor to debate? In that case, I'll make a very brief one. I echo Councillor Rong. I'm also pleased that this has come back on the agenda from 2009, where both Councillor Oak and Councillor Cannis and Councillor Ong were very active in actually advocating for this. I note the comment that cities like London and mayors like Mayor Johnson do have control of their transport systems, and that's a good thing. There are many things in the London model that I admire tremendously, like the executive control of council by the... Sorry, that just slipped out. I didn't mean that at all. Look, there are a couple of things, though, that I do think we need to be blunt about. The first is that our city is changing. And if you'd asked me 10 years ago, do you want to extend public transport? I would have said yes, you know, make it run later at night. But in fact, look at what our street teams are doing. Our street teams are now looking at when people are hitting the street, when they come out in large numbers from nightclubs and they're starting work at 4 a.m. and running through till midday. So people are coming out of those nightclubs at 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock in the morning. That's when the bulk of people need to leave the city. And in fact, bizarrely, that's when public transport at 5 a.m. does start to run. So I do think we need to look at what the patterns of movement are now and where people are going. And I remember speaking to Michel Masson, the former CEO of Yarra Trams, who said to me, yes, good in theory, but as a blanket idea, very naive. You need to think about where people are going and at what times and on what modalities. So it's not just a matter of saying public transport. It's a matter of saying what is the specific public transport at what times going where that you need. So I don't know that we've done the research on that at this stage of where the city is. And I think that it's important that we have that data before we just call for something that may be very expensive but not make a great difference to the movement of people. And I'd point to the fact that we actually tried this. Remember, we tried, with the help of the taxi industry, to have multi-hire of up to 10 people through maxi taxis, which failed because people chose not to do it at the times we're arguing for. So the modality issue is a very important one. I would point out that it wasn't just the government who said that. It was Yarra Trams and Metro as well, who said that, well, hang on, you know, we do need time to actually service our system. Now, I'm sure that can be worked around. And the final point that was made, and I would agree with that, you can always predict a political response if the way that the government hears about it is through the press. If you're going to have a discussion, you have to have a discussion with government. But then don't
don't pretend in some way that, you know, well, that's all unfair and you've had a knee-jerk reaction and the rest of it. That's because they read about it in the press rather than having a policy discussion. So it depends on whether you want a headline or result. And if you want a result, what you've got to do is negotiate with government about the data that shows where the need is in the city. We don't have either of those things at the moment. But nevertheless, just as I did in 2009, I would support an extension of public transport hours in the city. I just don't quite know yet where to, on what modality, and at what times. And the last discussion I had with police was to say, you don't need it later at night, you need it earlier in the morning. And that's an interesting reflection of the way that usage patterns of the city are changing. And nevertheless, I would support such a meeting with the Minister for Public Transport to discuss those extended hours, what they might be, on what modalities, and for how many people. Further contribution? Councillor Foster.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you to councillors for their words of support. I'm well aware that this is not the first time that that this issue has come before the council, and it's important that we keep it on the table because, as the Lord Mayor has pointed out, it's an important issue that does indeed need to be kept on the table. I'd also like to thank Don Parsons, who representing as chair of the CVD Police Community Consultative Committee, who wrote to councillors recently expressing his and on behalf of the committee his support for the motion and pointing out that extended hours, especially for public transport on Friday and Saturday nights, were important. I'd just like to raise a couple of things in closing. Firstly, what the Premier and members of the government heard about in the media was a call for a policy discussion. And a policy discussion on this issue is important to have. That's what they heard about. They didn't hear about much more than that. I would like to think at this stage that their reaction was indeed nothing more than a knee-jerk reaction and that can be worked through. And I think that this is a real opportunity for the state government to correct what are potentially some inaccurate perceptions that they are not supporters of public transport. This is a rolled gold opportunity to step up and change people's minds about that. People don't just need to feel safe, they need to actually be safer. And helping them get out of the city at these hours is going to do just that. On that note, Lord Mayor, I'll close debate. Thanks.
Thank you. In that case, I'll put this motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. This concludes the items of general business to be considered in open session. Are there any items of proposed urgent business? In that case, could I call on a councillor to move a motion to close the open meeting? Deputy Lord Mayor, seconded Councillor Foster. I'll put that motion. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Could I thank members of the public for their interest and attendance and declare the meeting closed to the public at 6:13 p.m.